You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley. They bring you the betting insight, laughs, and some rants along the way.
What about Kubins? We've got to start retching immediately. Paprika. No, please. Anything else? Can I have a salad, please?
We'll give you an edge to beat the spread and so much more.
It's a ton of 11s. It's a ton of 10s. It's a couple 12s. And it's very, very, very rarely nines. Like JT Daniels gets hurt, it's a nine. That's the extreme outcome.
What do we call that? Wagertainment. It's You Better You Bet from BetQL.
And it is, and Ken Barkley this afternoon along with Chris Rangi. I am in Costos here for the week. Nick will be back next week, and we are going to continue to have some fun. We had a big day yesterday with NBA free agency starting and a lot of things all happening at once, as usually does happen when NBA free agency begins. So we'll continue to talk about that today. We've got a lot of nice guests as well. Bill Ryder from CBS Sports Radio is going to join the show. Cliff Floyd, former major leaguer, will be with us as well. James Mazzola will join us to talk some golf. And Ken Barkley yesterday broke down everything you need to know about the SEC and the win totals for the upcoming college football season. We're going to continue the Power Five conference discussion this week. And today we'll be talking about the Big 12 as Ken will break down those win totals for you as well. We've got the Power Hour in the final hour of the show. And of course, you can listen to this show. Not sure how you're doing it right now, but there are all kinds of ways. You can watch us on YouTube. You can download the Odyssey app and you can listen to us for free anytime you want to do that. We hope you do so. Ken Barkley here at Lockie Lockerson. That's how you follow him on Twitter. There's my Twitter handle right there on the screen at Chris Rangi if you want to follow me. Ken, good afternoon. How are you, my friend? It was kind of a head spinning day and I guess night last night as well with everything that happened in the NBA.
It was. We'll get into a lot of the moves that were made. I don't know if any of them qualify as like seismic or, you know, the balance of power in the NBA has shifted, but there were a lot of things, just the sheer number, the frequency of moves that was made was pretty crazy. Lakers filled in some of their gaps. The Knicks spent money would probably be the nice way to put it. And we can get into that stuff as well. I want to start with something because we spent the whole first segment yesterday as a result of the Open that was played that our boy Rick Camp assembled, and Rick's on the show again today, obviously, as he always is. And we're happy to have him. But and today we went back, we went away from the make fun of Chris Rangi Open, and we went back toward the Nick Costos who isn't here Open, even though it's a new one.
Right.
And the other person who's on the show today, who I have a feeling is the culprit here or the catalyst for this change that's taken place, is our producer Eli Hershkovich, who had, I think, a bit of a rough day yesterday. Eli, are you with us here to start?
I am here. My voice is kind of shot. Had a screaming match yesterday, so that was fun, but I'm alive.
Screaming match?
With
you
who?
Lost your voice still? Who were you screaming at?
At the dealership. It was not a good day.
At the car dealership? You screamed at a car dealership?
Yeah.
Why were you screaming at them?
Well, let's kind of take people back, okay? So it's about 8:30, 8:45.
4 hours. You can go all the way back if you want.
Yeah, that's true. 8:45 in the morning. Yeah. I'm on the expressway. My car is like, I feel like it's kind of acting up, but I'm like, maybe I'm just paranoid right now. It's probably okay. Then all of a sudden, right, and Rangi knows where I'm talking about, right, as I'm about to turn on the express lane. So I'm on the expressway, Ken, highway. Yep. My car just shuts down.
Can you tell me real quick, just so we can have the severity of the expressway you were on, which one was it?
The Kennedy.
Oh, God, yeah, okay. Yeah,
so this is what it's like
rush hour,
downtown Chicago, just like really bad stuff going on. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I've made the drive in from like flying into the airport, driving into the city a bunch of times, and I'm familiar with how terrible some of the traffic can be in these giant roadways.
Rush hour? Oh. Yeah. All right. Anyway, not Eli.
Okay. So you're interrupting. What do you drive?
I drive a Toyota Corolla.
Okay. So you drive like a reliable, mid-sized car.
And it's
so, like, not something where you would expect this to happen.
A couple years old. Right. I never
Years old. Okay.
Yeah. All right. It's not old.
It's not old. I never thought my engine would just shut down all of a sudden. Yeah, so
who would? Right. Exactly.
Right. So then I got a cop car. Luckily, a minute behind me, he pulls up behind me. He's like, I'm going to stay here for a little bit just so you don't get hit.
Avoid death would be great. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Which lane were you in? Did you get to pull over to the side or were you?
No, I was in the middle of the expressway.
Oh, Eli. Eli in the middle lane going into downtown Chicago in rush hour with like the little blinkers on, just like, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me.
Ken. I mean, Ken, you heard it in my voice. I was like,
I called Tyler. I go, is he okay? He called me like he was like, it was the last rites or something. Like he was just like, Ken, Tyler's going to be on the show today, but if something happens to me, just know.
Oh, no.
Like, that's like, okay.
I did not right, do well, that. Let's blow past
there
the
There was a lot here. Of, you claimed that you were really hyperventilating pissed. And you couldn't breathe. That was what you claimed.
I was really hot. Like, I was stuck in my car.
You'd be nervous.
I'm really hot and, like, I can't breathe. Those are two completely different things.
I didn't say I can't breathe, but yes.
Maybe I was something that was said.
I told you I felt like I was going to fade. I did.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, to be fair, you were in the middle lane.
It's nerve-wracking to be in the middle of the highway, of an interstate, a busy interstate at rush hour, and then your car stops.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my side.
I am on your side.
I'm the one who, I was very sympathetic yesterday. Hey. Eli abdicated all show responsibility because he had this terrible thing happen to him. And I was like, great, man. Do you just get it taken care of? So this was not yesterday. This is now today. That's everything's okay. But I want to, can we get faster to the yelling at the dealership, losing your voice thing? How do we get there?
So to this point, Eli, I'm on your side. I can't wait to hear this part, though.
All right.
Well, who else decided you're going to be on the car?
Maybe the dealership. I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
I'm on Team Highway. I don't know. That's like, you guys are losers.
Kill Eli at this point. So
Highway never loses.
That's true. So I'm at the dealership, and they're saying, you know, you got to pay X amount of money. I don't really want to say the amount over the air. I guess I could, but it's a substantial amount to the point where I'm like,
for a Corolla, right? Exactly.
Right. Yeah, the engine failed.
Yeah.
Like they're saying it's not under the manufacturer's fault. And I said, then how is it my fault? Like, what did I do to cause the engine to go off? And they said nothing, but it's still not the manufacturer's fault where it's under the warranty. So then I got heated and
But you were already heated. You were heated in the middle lane. You got you got emotionally heated when you were at the dealership. Okay.
Not fun.
What were you yelling though? Like, how does it get to yell? Like,
I was yelling because we were kind of in a shouting match back and forth.
Okay. See, basically it was just your fault, your fault, your fault, your fault, like back and forth, basically.
I wasn't
like
saying it was their fault, but I was saying, Now I was basically saying, what was I supposed to do to stop this from happening? So I wasn't going to that degree, but I was just kind of saying, like, how is this all on me? Why am I paying X amount of money?
All right. You have Eli. I'm assuming that you're probably, it's a couple of years old. You probably don't have more than like 10,000 miles, if that, on this car, right?
It's about, it's more than 10K because I drove back from Philly. So it's about, let's say, like 15, 16K.
Okay. It shouldn't be doing this at 15K.
Yeah, it shouldn't. Right. Yeah,
that, you should be doing it at 150K. The engine failed.
All right.
So it's not like you go in at like the 40K check and they're like, boy, we're glad you brought it in. Engine was gonna fail. It's like, well, okay, then like why do I own this car? Like, why was this car was gonna explode? Glad you brought it in. Yeah.
Eli, did you mother F anybody?
I did not mother F anybody. I try not to go to that length.
So it wasn't that aggressive, it was just loud.
I was saying, like, I'm losing my voice. F. Not mother F, but F.
Oh, right. Bridge too far, clearly.
Include the mother. It's a step too far.
Let's keep our mothers out of this, all right?
Yeah. I'm glad
Geez. Eli, Rick, stand by the dump button, please. So Eli's about to lose. Okay. Well,
About that, to be fair. I did think about it in my head. Am I about to say this word?
Before we go to NBA, and we have some other NBA stuff to do. So where are we at, right? Like, what is our update right now, Eli? With everything's like set? You're still miserable. Everything's taken care of. Where are we on the spectrum before?
Have the day, right? You have the day where you're kind of miserable. That was me yesterday. Just upset.
Listen to You Better, You Bet. Make you feel better. 3-7.
Yeah. I did listen. I was listening as much as I could while I was sitting at the dealership.
Okay.
The girlfriend was trying to talk to me and put me in a better mood. She's on the road and it wasn't really working. So,
but today, under six bets, those will pay pretty well. Yeah.
Today is better. Today is better, to say the least.
Okay.
Well, excellent, buddy. I'm glad you're okay, because that could have turned out really bad. I don't know what you guys would typically do. I mean, I'm in filling in this week, but if it was the regular show and something terrible happened to Eli in this situation, do you Ken do the laugh. Show the next day, or do you, what do you do?
Rick in our chat writes, dunk on him. Like that was, so I think what you're really asking, Chris, is if Nick was hosting the show today, what approach would he choose to take? I mean, like, mercilessly roast Eli would probably be the best concise.
No, here's what I think would happen. I'm going to go inside Nick's head for a second.
Okay. I think this is if you died on the highway. Right. This is what we're talking about, right?
Okay. Yes.
If you had died yesterday.
If I literally died yesterday, people want to hear NBA talk. Instead, we're talking about death.
This is better.
Yeah, no, this is way better. Reaches way more people. Everybody identifies.
All right. So I think he starts out sad, starts out talking about how much I meant to the show, meant to him. then he goes inside my head about like how it happened, kind of like taking it to the scene of the crime, what happened to Eli, and then he starts the roast.
Okay.
And I think that's,
I didn't know where this was going. It was like it started very solemn. I don't know, Nick would be like, Eli, one of the best mediocre producers I've ever worked with, and just a there's a lot of backhanded compliments usually on the show, Chris. But anyway, I wanted to get Eli's day on the record, because I'll be honest, like a lot of us were sitting here right before the show just being like what happened? Like, is he sounded extremely flustered. Is everything okay? Like, where is he? Tyler had to do spot duty doing double shows last night. So he thanks did the Tyler, double? Obviously, for filling in. He said he had to do all his stuff for BetMGM tonight, too, like during our show, basically. Uh-oh. So he was why don't you talk to your buddy over there? Make sure.
I thought he was getting
good for golf bets later.
Yeah, that is definitely.
Need some content for the old Barracuda Open we got coming up.
Well,
star-studded names.
When I talked to Eli this morning, I was under the impression that he just couldn't get out of his driveway. I didn't know it was serious. Like, this dude was stuck on the interstate.
You're imagining him like kicking back on the couch, watching Netflix, being like, "Oh, sucks, can't get my car." Yeah, rats. Right.
I didn't know that it was dire. Right. That it was, he was in a dangerous situation
in the middle of Chicago in a middle lane with trucks bearing down on him. Go ahead.
Honestly, Ken, if this were to happen to him, like, and he does pass away from it, you just step right over his body and keep going on with the show. There's nothing else.
Had to tie a bow on the segment with that one. Okay, excellent. Like, just really put the Chris Ranji stamp on everything. That was excellent. We literally had NBA news just literally during that 11 minutes too, where it's like, well, we could talk about NBA from last night, but apparently Rick, come on here for a second. Rick Campordop, who assembled the Chris Ranji Open we didn't use today and we used yesterday. Lakers making moves. Rick, what's going on?
Yeah, so far today, Carmelo has agreed to a one-year deal with them, and also Malik Monk has agreed to a one-year deal.
Malik Monk.
Yeah, so it's a slim pickings there for the old Lakers.
And well, they spent all their money already, and we don't have, I mean, it's a one-year deal, so it can't be that much for both of them. It's not going to hurt them, but this is the kind of thing they're going to have to do now after all the money tied up in those three players.
But I mean, if those are like the not minimum guys, because it's like veteran minimum, it's probably a little over that for Carmelo. But if those are the ancillary pieces that are being filled in as like players 8, 9, and 10, that's like actually really good. Like that's actually way better than like Malik Monk. If he's getting like no money, that's actually like a great signing for the Lakers. Like that's actually awesome. Because the Lakers are, and we can do this in the second segment, obviously, we can kind of like the Lakers in totality and the moves that they made, but they're an old, old team. And like in an 82-game regular season, like how many games are these guys taking off? So the idea that you can, like, you might need Monk for like a month to shoot 20 times a game. Like you might need that. You know, you're not going to have Schroeder anymore either. Like if it's Westbrook and AD and LeBron and Gasol and the rest of the collection of, and Carmelo and these guys, like, the number of games missed this year for this team is going to be so high. That's one of the reasons why Westbrook, I felt like, was such an important add for the regular season. So, okay, that's interesting. So we've had that. Rick, any other news like very recently, either during the Eli
Within
Carr
the last
story
10
or right
minutes
before we came on the air? Yeah.
Steph Curry officially agreed to his 4-year, $215 million extension. So
attaboy, Steph.
Good for Steph.
That was, yeah, I mean, well, that's only been set for about, you know, 7 years basically that he was going to sign that contract. Right. Incredible.
The other thing that wasn't a signing, but that it seems like DeMar DeRozan is choosing between taking like probably the taxpayer mid-level to go to the Clippers or a sign and trade with to the Bulls.
Yes.
Around
so we're down to those two.
And that's what it seems like from the reporting, because it was originally just Windhorst. Now it's Windhorst and Mark Stein that are kind of on the same page with that.
And Rick, that's that would be great for the Bulls, especially if you're essentially replacing Markkanen with him, because it just is not working out in Chicago with Lauri Markkanen.
I mean, that's if DeRozan goes with what's already happened for the Bulls, over. Just over every Bulls game, because who in that starting lineup
over, is going to defend? Over unders.
Game totals. Right. Over unders of just, I mean, they will have one person that can really defend well, and Lonzo who can defend if he's off ball.
Wow. So here we go.
We got a lot to do. We got to thoroughly unpack Lakers roster, unpack Bulls roster, and I need more Rick takes on the totality of what the Bulls did. Apparently, Andre Drummond's going to play for Philly, which makes absolutely no sense to me. So a bunch of stuff there. And the Knicks. We got a lot of stuff to do next segment.
There is a lot of stuff that is happening here. The NBA free agency period continues, and it is not slowing down. You better you bet today. Ken Barkley, Chris Ronji here on BetQL.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Ken Barkley and Chris Ronji on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Kostos is out. He's back next week, and NBA free agency continues. Barkley and Ronji for the afternoon and this week. Appreciate you being with us. Yeah.
Chris Ronji and Ken Barkley.
Yeah.
You didn't even have to say Kostos is off. Like, we would never even know he was supposed to host the show.
But I think it's a nice thing to do. This is usually his chair, not this exact chair, but you know, this spot that the screen on the TV screen here.
Well, that's his normal spot. You're a more honorable man than him, I guess that's what the right way I would put it.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I care about people and I have integrity. I have integrity, Ken. If you guys don't,
since when?
I do. Well, all right, Camp, you be quiet back there until we bring you back in here in a moment to talk some NBA.
It's like a lot of stuff is happening. Our producers turned into the peanut gallery when Chris is hosting. It's exceptional.
No. Well, this is sort of how things happen on the Score. That's just like people are jumping in the conversation whenever they want. It's a free for all, but it's a fun free for all normally, unless certain people talk and then you have to tell them to stop talking.
Right. Usually Nick is the ringmaster and keeps everybody under control. And that's now everyone's, the animals are all.
What was the show that people used to reference all the time when it was a free for all? Romper Room. Does that sound right?
Sure. Well, I know that was the name of a show, but
I don't know what
that show was about.
I have no idea. I just assume it was people.
Are we even sure that was a real show, or did everybody just make that up and that was just the show that we ended up using?
We need to ask a really old person. Like, I'm kind of old. You're a little bit less old than me. We need to ask somebody who's like legitimately.
Nicest thing anybody's ever said about me.
I know. Speaking of old, how about the LA Lakers? They have they've put together a pretty nice roster here. We did learn during the last segment, Malik Monk and Carmelo Anthony have each signed 1-year deals. Don't really know what the money is for either of them. I'm assuming for Monk, it's probably in the 9 to 10 range, 9 to 10 million, not $9 to $10. Don't know that exactly, but here's what we do know. It's a guy who can shoot. He can shoot from the corner. He's been really good at that. So it's almost perfect because LeBron and a lot of those guys, he kind of likes to drive and then kick the ball out to the corner for a guy who's wide open for a three. And you feel like that's going to be a really nice setup throughout this season. As far as what the championship odds are now, they were 4-1 before this happened today. There's going to be an adjustment. I mean, what are we thinking? It's down to 3-1, maybe 2-1 to win the NBA finals.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're just going to be the favorite. The Nets, Brooklyn and them will be almost co-favorites. They'll be the favorite to win the West is what I meant. And, is that justified? Sure. And there are people be like, well, how can they be the favorite? And it's like, well, the thing about futures markets is they also don't let you bet the no ever. Like it's not a two-way market. So like if the Lakers are 2-1 or 3-1 and they're both too low, it doesn't really matter because I can't bet they won't win -300. Like I can't bet the opposite side, because if I could, then that wouldn't be the yes price. The two would kind of move in tandem as more people bet the no. So when you only have like one-way traffic on these futures prices, just depress all the favorites down a lot, make them all terrible bets. You'll take a lot of money from people that are just Lakers fans, want to throw $20 on the team to win the title, want to bet the Nets because it's fun, and like, oh, well, they're the best team. It's just, you know, ignorant of what the price is, basically. And that's not, like, that's just how casual betting works. I used to do that. Like, I used to be, I'll bet the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. And then, you know, actually somehow picked the year where they didn't, which was actually really funny. I'll bet North Carolina to win the basketball title. And then that was when Chris Jenkins made the three in the final. I have a storied history of putting $20 on something or $100 on something and then having an end in heartbreak and failure. Might be something that happens to people who bet the Nets and Lakers this year. But just if you keep those favorite prices just really, really depressed, if you're a sports book, you're making so much in the commission off of it, to use just layman's terms. Because it's just none of those are the true prices of kind of what they should be. So just kind of keep that in mind with NBA with favorites, college football with favorites. That's definitely true. NFL less true because there's just more parity. Like you can't, like, sure, like the Chiefs can never necessarily be valuable right now compared to, you know, it'll probably just be the same as what they are in 3 months or 4 months. But it's a little harder to do because there's just more teams that can win. I would argue there are like certain other sports that are a little more specific where that's true. Baseball, when it gets late in the year, I'm sure some books take that approach when only so many teams can win, like, you know, just make every team that really can't win like 200-1 and see how many nibbles you get, and just, you know, take every team that can win and make them like 4-1 and see what you can get. So in terms of the movement, like I made this point yesterday, I think Eli even put a note in the rundown about it. Just like, don't bet the Lakers right now, because what are they going to be going forward? And like you probably remember this too, Chris, as we were going through last season, and that it just became very apparent that the Nets were awesome, right? And even though LeBron and Anthony Davis were hurt, it became apparent that if they were on the team and playing well, that the Lakers were also awesome. And then you had these, ancillary teams. You had the Clippers, you had Phoenix, you had Utah, you had Philadelphia, you had Milwaukee. You had all these teams that were also like pretty good, didn't occupy the same space as Lakers and Nets. And that's how most NBA seasons work, right? You have a couple super teams, or you have one or two super teams. You have other teams that people think have some chance. So if that's true, okay, like let's remember what the Nets prices were pretty late in the game, to be honest. Like if we're talking about January and February, and this was when the Lakers guys got hurt too. I mean, Nets to win the East got to even money, but them to win the title was still, I mean, I definitely had some like +300 from pretty late in the season. I had some +280 from pretty late in the season. Like it's just, barring a singular super team situation, like 73 when Warriors would be a good example. The year after that would actually be an even better example, probably. Adding Durant. When you only have one, it gets a little tricky. The price maybe just keeps going down and down and down because maybe no contender emerges alongside them. But like that's not going to be the case this year. You already have two, and we haven't talked about the team that won last year yet, who will get some credit in the market. You have enough teams fighting for this. Like, I don't think these prices are going anywhere. like 3 months from now, or not even 3 months from now. What is it? August. So 6 months from now, it's January, February. Say the Lakers start 23-3, and the Nets start really well, and it kind of looks like how you think it's going to look. Like the Lakers get off to this incredible start. Well, what would their odds be to win the title? okay, well, like right now I saw like 275, 300, 350 in a bunch of places. A tiny bit less than that. And you had to already go through a third of the season to make that possible. There's just not a lot of room for this to drop out, I think, because they already just take up a ton of probability. For you, I guess my question would be, just looking at these player names that have been added recently, so we can take the two today, obviously, as well. You can take the idea that Caruso's not coming back on the team, obviously.
Member of the Bulls now.
We can get Rick's opinion on that. So it's you know, team old guys, basically, Dwight coming back as well. Is like, does that do anything for you in terms of, like, does that make you want to bet the Lakers? Does it make you feel more confident they'll win a title, thinking about the teams they have to go through now that we've kind of seen how the pieces have been assembled here?
Here's the only way I look at them. It's all about health to me, and we had that conversation yesterday. If LeBron James is healthy throughout the playoffs and Anthony Davis is healthy throughout the playoffs, then, yeah, I think they're I wouldn't mind, and I want to see where the price is at that time, but I would not mind putting money on them. I look at it this way. At this point right now, I'm staying away from it. I don't have the confidence what I'm talking about is going to happen. I'm just looking ahead at what possibly could happen. So the way I see it is this. If you're looking for any sort of optimism that maybe these guys will be able to stay healthy, remember the season is about to start kind of soon, actually. I mean, we're not too far away from the beginning of the next NBA season, and we're just a couple of weeks removed from the end of the last NBA season. October 19th is the beginning of the 21-22 season. The Lakers were bounced in the first round. I'm wondering how much that could actually help them in terms of health. And if you look at some of these other teams that did have to play a while, like Brooklyn played a couple of series, Milwaukee obviously going the entire way, Phoenix having to go the whole way. I think there is a benefit for the Lakers for being out in that first round, which means a few weeks extra rest for those guys, for the older players. So there is a benefit there. I just don't know how much that benefit is going to help when they get deeper into next season. So when you do get into March of 2022, I don't know how much it's going to matter, but if you're looking for any kind of optimism or any, you know, advantage they might have, this could very well be it.
Sure. And just, you know, glancing at, just off the top of my head, I did like an impromptu depth chart for them. I was like, I think it's going to be like an 8-9 man rotation, and we can get into some of the other West teams in a second, but, and how that this all kind of fits together. So, I mean, probable starting lineup is probably Westbrook, Ariza, LeBron, Davis, Gasol, unless Davis is dying to play the five, which he never is. And there was like rumblings that maybe he would think about it. Okay, call me when that happens. Yeah. So that's the starting five. It's a really old starting five. I mean, the first thing that stands out is like 5 years ago, this is like the greatest defensive unit in the history of basketball. I mean, it's like you're starting like Ariza, motivated LeBron, prime Davis, and Marc Gasol, like more closer to his prime on the court at the same. I mean, this team would allow like 80 per 100 in like max minutes. And like Westbrook's like a very physical defender. I don't know if he's ever been regarded as a great elite defender. Maybe that's something he can do with this team, just to use his athletic tools. But can they be that enough that it matters? Can they be that in the playoffs and maybe not in the regular season? Maybe it's like, hey, in the playoffs, we can hang our hat on the fact that we're going to be like really physical and our we're going to protect the rim and like our defense is going to be stifling. And it's possible that that starting lineup could achieve that. The problem is you bring Monk and Carmelo as maybe the two of the first three guys off the bench, and Dwight Howard will play backup center minutes. Okay, now that doesn't really happen anymore. That's not really what Malik Monk's about. It's definitely not what Carmelo Anthony's about. It's just it's a weird group. It's just, what do they all have in common? Just that they're old, basically. Like that's really it. Ariza and Monk obviously have something in common, which is that they're really good at, I mean, they're really, really good at hitting an open three. Mike Gallagher, who we had on from Establish the Run, had a good tweet during our last commercial break. Just Malik Monk on wide open three-pointers in his career has gotten better every year, and last year shot 41%. You think that's maybe what attracted them to sign him? So that's very interesting, that collection of players. So I'll ask you another question. If it's not the Lakers in the West, you had to pick one other team you were the most confident in would get to the NBA Finals, who would you pick?
I would pick probably the Golden State Warriors, and Eli reminding us that they are 11-1 essentially to win the NBA championship. Just what I said a moment ago, talking about the Lakers being bounced after that first round. The Warriors didn't even really make it to the playoffs. I mean, he got that play-in game, but they didn't make it into that first
like a
round.
Gap year, basically. Yeah.
And that could very well help them. I think they're an interesting case. And maybe if Denver stays healthy, if Utah stays healthy, those teams have a case as well. But there's something really intriguing about the price for the Golden State Warriors right now. And look, if Steph goes off and if he stays healthy, and that's really the key. I mean, he came back late in the year last season, and then look at how good he was toward the end of the year. He was as good as we had ever seen him play. So if he can maintain his health and get into the playoffs, I think you're looking at a really dangerous team in Golden State. But again, I don't know if I'm willing to do that at this point of the season or this point of the year. I'm probably waiting a little bit. But if you believe in the Golden State Warriors at plus 1150, that's a really good price right now.
Yeah, Eli posed an interesting question in the rundown, which was basically, okay, so if all of that's true with the Lakers, where you would never buy them right now, is there a team or two that you think exists where you could see the price really dropping out of this team? Like maybe a team that's, you know, the Nets were 9 before the season, and then they were 7, I think, right before opening night, and then they were 2. So like something like that, like who could be, is there a team out there that can be that? I mean, I don't think there's a team that can be that, because no super team that's been assembled has odds that are as high as Brooklyn was. And it was guys coming back from injury. There was all these things that created what happened in the market. I don't know if I want to bet this team right now, but I think the price could be pretty likely to drop. Just kind of thinking about it, surface level would be Denver would be the price that I think has a lot of room to drop. Like if you're trying to think about
now,
right. So at Bet Rivers right now, 20, I think, is the price that Bet Rivers has. 22, yeah. Excuse me. And I think I've seen something a little higher than that. I know there are 25s and 30s. I know there's also some that are a little bit less. So we'll call it like that range, basically. But you're trying to figure out, okay, like why would the price drop out of this? It wouldn't be because of player acquisition. I mean, they brought Will Barton back, but like the core is going to be the same. They're just more excited about having Jamal Murray back at some point. Is this a team that could be like a one seed from a record standpoint? Maybe not from a talent standpoint, like not that they're the best team, but could be enticing enough. Like think about Utah and Phoenix last year, basically. You know, these were teams Phoenix started, I think, 50, maybe 40 to win the title. Utah was a little bit lower than that. But just by virtue of winning so many regular season games, the price ended up falling out because they were going to host first round and second round playoff series. You know, they just, people ended up liking them a little bit more because of their on-court statistics, even if we kind of thought during the playoffs it wasn't necessarily going to happen for them, and Phoenix proved us wrong a little bit. That could be Denver this year. I don't know if Denver's going to win a title necessarily, but depending on the return date for Murray and how many games he gets to play, they strike me as a team that could be like a one seed, win a lot of games in the regular season type of team with a high price. Now, obviously, that's Brooklyn. That's the Lakers. All those teams could win a lot of games, but their prices are already lower. Of the teams that are pretty high up where like you could see it fall out, Denver would be a team that I feel like would be very all in the regular season, depending on how many games Murray plays and stuff like that. Dallas may be another, but I just don't trust Jason Kidd whatsoever. So like, even though I think Luka could win the MVP next year, I don't really want to bet Dallas and think the bottom could fall out of that number. I think Denver would be my pick for rapid price drop, I guess would be the right way to put it.
Yeah, they're pretty impressive. How I feel like they're not getting enough out of a team with Luka on it because he is incredibly impressive. You're talking about Denver here, and I think there is one book you can find him at 25 to 1 right now. So maybe that'll change, and probably it will change. The Nuggets on Bet Rivers, they are 22 to 1. It's really interesting to see how things are going to move here over the next, well, several days. We'll see if any other NBA free agency moves happen here. In fact, let's continue the NBA discussion. We will talk with Bill Ryder from CBS Sports Radio. He's going to join us next on You Better You Bet. Ken Barkley, Chris Ranji on BetQL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Ken Barkley and Chris Ranji on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Something you may not know is You Better You Bet is part of a bigger company. We're home to the industry's most influential collection of broadcast and digital content, podcasts, and premium live experiences. We provide the news our fans need, the sports they love, the podcasts they crave. We're a part of a brand called Odyssey. Download the Odyssey app today to watch and listen to You Better You Bet live, and you can also subscribe to the podcast on the app. All the other shows on BetQL are available as well. It's a machine now, what's happening here with Odyssey and You Better You Bet and BetQL Daily and all the great shows that we've got now on BetQL. Good to have you with us. I am Chris Ranji with Ken Barkley. Nick Kostos is out. And we continue our NBA discussion. Bill Reiter had something come up. I don't believe he might get a chance to join us later. Or no, we're going to talk to Drew Dinsick now, right? At some point in the show.
About an hour. Yep.
Perfect. A little bit later in the show, he's going to join us. And we will have a good discussion with him. So let's do this, Ken. Let's get back to the NBA and all the things that happened. We really did not at all touch on the Eastern Conference and what happened there. The most notable of moves or notable of teams is
Is that a play on words? Is that what you're going for there?
No, you know what? I wasn't even going to talk about the Bulls first.
Really? Oh, were you going to talk about the Knicks first?
No, I was going to talk about the Miami Heat.
No, we talked about them yesterday. What would you like to add?
Oh. Well, I mean, they didn't have P.J. Tucker when we talked about
it. That's very true. That's a good comment.
Does that change anything for you?
It's better than not having P.J. Tucker, I think, is a really good way to look at it. It's so funny. I feel like P.J. Tucker got dunked on, well, physically got dunked on by Cam Johnson, too, but got dunked on, like, you know, emotionally or via social media by everybody that watches the NBA because it was like, well, Durant, like, had his way with him, like, did whatever he wanted, or, like, what does P.J. Tucker do on the court? You know, I know on this show we would bet his points over in a bunch of games, and it would be, like, five. And it would just be really heartbreaking to watch him just not shoot, and he'd have, like, one corner three and brick it. I'm sure that affected our opinion of him as well. I think he's a really great piece to have when you're already in the playoffs. I think in the regular season, sure, does he give you some stuff that helps you, like, win games during the regular season? Sure, like, better than a replacement-level player. But in the playoffs, it just kind of gives you another look to throw at teams, basically. Like, can play five in a small lineup and you don't kind of lose, you know, physicality or rebounding as a result of him playing super. You're going to play, go really small. You can put him on certain kind of like wing superstar players, like whether it's, you know, Durant's such a unique matchup and Tucker obviously knows him so well, but you can use him like that as well, spacing with corner threes. Like, it's not this, you know, amazing signing for, you know, well, they were the four seed and now, like, could they really have the best record in the NBA? Like, it's never going to be that, but it's like another piece to throw in a playoff series, and the Heat are going to find themselves in all likelihood, you know, it's Butler, Lowry, and Bam. That's probably going to get you 45 to 50 wins in an average Eastern Conference season. And if that's true, then you're the four, maybe the three. We'll see what ends up happening with Philly, who signed Andre Drummond. And we didn't talk about that either, I guess. You know, you're probably the four. You're probably playing, God, Atlanta again, probably in the first round with the best projection we have. Have to see what happens with a couple other teams. How does Boston look next year would be another one. Okay, like, you're playing Atlanta in the first round. Kind of nice to just have that extra look, right? You can play a five-man lineup where, you know, it's Tucker and Bam plays the five, or like it's Tucker and a bench unit and Tucker's playing the five when Bam sits. It's just like, and there aren't a lot of guys that fit that role that you don't lose a ton when you put them in the game. So yeah, I think it helps. You know, is this version of Miami like a title team? Like, are they worth a bet to win that? They're 30-1 at Bet Rivers right now. No. And they would have to outperform to such a degree if they had a bet. If you're betting them 30-1 right now, then you think the price is obviously going to go down. And that would really only happen if they had a better regular season record than both Brooklyn and Milwaukee. If you're betting that, you're like thinking that's going to be true. And that doesn't strike me as something that's very likely to happen. Could happen. Just, you know, Utah and Phoenix had the best two records in the West last year, but just doesn't seem likely to happen enough where I'd like want to grab that price. I think you're going to be able to get them 30 for a while, honestly. Like, I just don't see how they achieve enough in the regular season to make that the bottom fall out of that number. When you heard those moves, Lowry and now in combination with Tucker and thinking about Miami, Chris, do you feel the same way, or do you feel like they have, you know, moved closer, I guess, to the rest of the elite teams in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I think they moved a little closer, and the same sort of thing applies that we were talking about with the Lakers in for me, and I don't know how much I care about this, but I don't think it's nothing in terms of them not making a deep playoff run and then, you know, having to immediately start a season. It feels like 2 months later. You know, I do think that matters. I don't know how much weight to put on that right now, but they're clearly a good team. At 35-1, I think that's where they started. And now, like you mentioned, they're 30-1. There are some books that have them at like 16-1, 18-1, which, yeah. I mean, you're
don't
not
want to take any more money on them, clearly.
Yeah. Right? I mean, you're
how do we make it so no one wants to bet them? How do we create that? Well, let's make them 12-1. Yeah, you got it. Let's do it.
Yeah. You're definitely not buying in on that. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of where they are right now, but I still don't think they're better than Brooklyn. I mean, they're not, I wouldn't be all that concerned with them unless they end up staying healthy. And here's the other thing you have to remember, Jimmy Butler, as good as he is, when this contract is up, he's going to be 35 years old. He's still good right now, and he's probably going to be good for another couple of years. But the older you get, the more likely it is that you're going to start to have injuries. And sure, his, you know, 31, 32, 33, that's maybe some other guy's 35, 36, or 37. He's played some hard minutes. So
Tibbs philosophy.
And he's played for that guy.
He's
for
actually
a while.
57. It's actually, yes, if you use the, like, dog years, if you use the Tibbs formula. Yeah.
That would concern me a little bit if I'm them. You still should be getting really good value out of his contract, though, for the next couple of years. But how healthy is he going to be over the course of that period? So you did bring up the Bulls. I wanted to bring in Rick Camp, who is probably very excited about what the Bulls had done. Yesterday when we talked, we knew about Lonzo Ball, and that was actually the first thing we found out about.
Yep.
As free agency started, the 4 years, $85 million. They also pick up Alex Caruso. We learn about that later in the evening, a four-year contract at $37 million. I know, Rick, yesterday you brought up that you're a little concerned about Lonzo in the half-court game, and maybe he's able to make some improvement there, but he's still a pretty brilliant playmaker, which is really the thing the Bulls wanted. What does Caruso do for this unit now that he is part of the team? And a lot of people think the Lakers screwed up by not keeping him around.
Yeah, what he brings to the Bulls is a guard that understands how to try and contain somebody on ball. Lonzo Ball is really good off the ball defensively, but on ball, he just got torched. Matt Moore from the Action Network yesterday tweeted out, among the 241 players that had at least 200 closeouts, Lonzo Ball had the fifth highest points allowed per closeout, which makes a lot of sense because one of our favorite prop angles all year was good point guards or scoring point guards against the Pelicans. And whether it was Lonzo or it was Eric Bledsoe, it didn't matter, and they got the feast. So what Caruso does is he is like miles above everybody else, the best point of attack defender on the Bulls now. And he fouls a lot and he can't play a ton of minutes for you, but just what he brings defensively, he is a really, really good defender. I don't know how much he's going to help you offensively. Shot well on only like 2.5 threes. He was around 40% last year. So I think that helps them a lot. But, you know, if you're able to keep him more on ball in some of those second units with Caruso, it does help out the Bulls a little bit, because then Lonzo can be in his best spot off the ball. Caruso can be on ball defensively. And as of now, the Bulls don't really have any rim protection. So that point of attack defense is going to be absolutely key. So as I look at the Bulls right now, they absolutely should be a playoff team. Like, not saying the top six, but after the play-in, they are in a seven-game series and have won the right to be cannon fodder for one of these top teams. That's probably what they've earned to this point. And if they get DeMar DeRozan, are there any two players that over the last few years scream, "We're just happy to get into the playoffs," and DeMar DeRozan and Nikola Vucevic?
Oh man, I mean, absolutely. How many games, Rick? So set the win total real quick, and we can, and then I know Chris has something you want to ask you too. Like, what should the win total be for Chicago this year?
Probably.
Should it be over 500?
I was thinking like 41.5, maybe.
Yeah, what was it? God, they were the most bet over of any team last season, and I want to say, God, I think they closed like 36. I mean, they got bet like
It started at like 32, I want to say.
Yeah, I think they honestly got bet up 6 wins. Like, it was actually one of the craziest things I've ever seen. I guess over 500. I don't know. And Chris, what do you think? What do you think the Bulls win total number should be?
Well, first of all, this team should have been a playoff team last year. before they did any of this. I think Rick would attest to that. I mean, that's kind of why they made the Vucevic deal in the first place, is they believed in that roster, and they didn't do it. And in fact, it kind of went the other direction. So, yeah, 41.5 is probably good here. This should be an over 500 team.
I think I would bet under on 41.5, honestly.
Really? Like, I would be
38.5. What about 38.5? Maybe we agree on that. Let me ask you this question. We'll bring in the Knicks here for a couple minutes too. So the Knicks keep everybody signed Fournier, basically, is like what the Knicks ended up doing. So all the guys that you thought they might get rid of, they actually brought back on deals, and then they paid Fournier $20 million a year. Good luck with that. Anyway, if we're trying to figure out, with Miami, and I was even doing it in my head, like, all right, so first round series, Miami's going to play, and I came up with like Atlanta or Boston, could be the Knicks, could be the Bulls. So the Knicks make those signings. So Rick, real quick, like, who is more likely to be Miami's first round opponent in that playoff series based on the moves that have occurred? Is it really Chicago's more likely than the Knicks?
I think they're pretty equal.
God, Chicago has so much more talent.
Like, and they got,
so much more likely.
And they have no defense. Like their defense.
Well, they have a little bit more now than they did before. Yeah, I mean, they had more now than they did before, I guess. I think the Knicks is such fool's gold this year. I mean, we saw in COVID seasons of other sports, teams had kind of crazy outlier seasons. The Marlins made the playoffs in the 50-game baseball season. I think we're going to see that with college football from last year to this year too. I would be very, very leery of like thinking the Knicks will have tremendous regular season success this year. Fournier doesn't, talk about not moving the needle from that prognostication whatsoever. The Bulls are they were fascinating last year, and they're fascinating again this year. I don't know what the right win total number is. I'm tempted to say under 500.
It's a massive failure if they don't make the playoffs.
I'm going to say 38.5. Knowing nothing, I'm going to say 38.5.
If that was actually the number, I would take over on it right now.
A lot of people bet over last year.
Yeah. I do think they're better than they were last season. Hey, I guess we're going to get inside my head again. Rationale of Ranji. It's coming back. We'll talk a little bit of baseball, Major League Baseball, next on You Better You Bet on BetQL.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. For the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread, download the BetQL app today.